Ferry officials apologized to an advisory board for keeping them out of the loop. And a study on Chilkoot and Chilkat sockeye failed to answer many questions. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Transportation Commissioner Pat Kemp on Tuesday apologized for keeping the Marine Highway Advisory Board out of the loop on the Alaska-class ferry. Kemp said he was sorry during a board meeting in Juneau.
I sincerely apologize for not keeping the board involved and not knowing more about the board. I wasn't involved with the board before, and in fact, when this whole thing was going down, taking place, I wasn't even a commissioner. I was acting commissioner, and I didn't know the sensitivities to the board. I wasn't sure how the board operated.
Kemp says he decided to scrap the Alaska-class ferry design before an October advisory board meeting, but he couldn't bring it up without Governor Sean Parnell's approval. The governor announced plans to design two smaller, cheaper shuttle ships in December. Soon afterward, he moved Kemp from acting to ongoing transportation commissioner. During Tuesday's meeting, several advisory board members strongly criticized Kemp's handling of the design change. But board chairman Robert Venables accepted the apology.
Well, I thought that was somewhat unprecedented and very well received. And I think the board has had a very warm and close working relationship with the commissioner's office and the staff. And I'm glad to see that bridge mending underway.
Kemp also asked former Marine Transportation Deputy Commissioner Mike Neusel to resign. He then named Ruben Yost as one of three deputy commissioners. Yost will oversee the ferry system along with other agencies and some major projects. Several legislators last week said state law requires such hires to go through the advisory board. Kemp said it's a different job and not covered by the legal language. Tuesday, Kemp said he was committed to working with the advisory board.
I'll have a close relationship with you. I like ferries. I like marine highway stuff. I think it's a great system, and the utmost confidence in Captain Falvey, the utmost confidence in Ruben, and I think we're going to be fine.
Officials expect some details of the new shuttle ferry design to be released within a few weeks. A report commissioned by the Haines Borough to examine sockeye stocks in the Chilkat and Chilkoot systems came up short, according to some commercial fishermen and borough officials. The borough contracted with Golder Associates to review the sockeye declines in the two river systems. The issue came up after the 2011 salmon season when local commercial fishermen claimed sockeye bound for the Chilkat were intercepted by commercial seine boats in icy straits. The seiners target pink salmon or humpies. Sockeye are considered a bycatch for the seiners. J.R. Churchill is part of the Upper Lynn Canal Gillnanders Association and helped push for the borough to get involved in the issue.
We know that there is pressure put on fish and game from various fishing organizations, i.e. the seining organization, to give them as much time and area as possible when there are a lot of humpies in on the north end. What our concern was is that they bowed to that pressure and allowed them to fish, even though we weren't getting sockeyes up in the Chilkat Inlet here.
Haines Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel chairs the Commerce Committee. Last year, she invited fish and game officials to a committee meeting in Haines to explain their perspective of the management balance between seiners and gillnetters and the decline of salmon returns in the Lynn Canal. Then the borough commissioned the $15,000 study with the hopes of providing some evidence or a recommendation the borough could use to argue for better management practices, Schnabel said.
Basically, I would like the report to become a document that we can use in a political arena. I think at this point, we really cannot use it in a political arena because too much is missing. And there was not a great deal of research into the management decision-making and those issues that most of the fishermen are concerned about, which is interception and management in icy straits.
The draft report details commercial fishing history in the Lynn Canal, which began in 1878. Peak harvest occurred between 1900 and the 1920s, when Chilkat salmon averaged 480,000. Between 1975 to 2007, the report said the same stock averaged 85,000. But many fishermen, like Churchill, say while that's the average, the trend has steadily decreased over the years and become what he calls anemic.
Back in the day, and I know because I was there, unfortunately I'm that old, but we had returns that could sustain a fishery. Right now, the returns that we're getting, typically we get enough for escapement barely, but there's no real fishery that supports any amount of boats. I mean, we have five or six boats that are capitalizing on a sockeye fishery. This past season was a good sockeye fishery on the Chilkoot side, but it was also the anomaly, not the norm.
The Golden Report mostly assessed limnology, or the health of the Chilkoot and Chilkat water systems, in the report. Researchers also looked at data about glacial silt and the effects of three-spined stickleback on fish stocks. In their report, researchers ranked the likelihood of all these variables on the sockeye. They deduced that in the Chilkat, marine conditions and survival was likely contributing to declining stocks, with lake conditions, freshwater productivity, and the stickleback as possible contributors. For the Chilkoot, researchers said marine conditions and glacial silt were possible contributors to the declines. But for both systems, researchers said harvest and fisheries management were unlikely contributors to the sockeye declines. That surprised Schnabel.
Perhaps they thought that we thought that the lack of salmon in Chilkoot and Chilkat was because of habitat issues. And I don't think that any of the fishermen really believe that.
Resident Burl Sheldon said in a letter to the Commerce Committee about the study that Golder notes it did not examine Chilkat sockeye salmon harvest data from 2008 to 2011 or Chilkoot harvest data for 2011. The report also says that Chilkat and Chilkoot sockeye are harvested commercially entirely by the Lynn Canal drift gillnet fishery, with no mention of the possible interception by the Icy Straits seine fleet. Schnabel said she's not upset with Golder as much as wanting more clarification from the researchers about why interception and management issues were not researched more for the report. She said she wants to see a report that, if evidence plays out to show interception and management is an issue, then the borough can better advocate for Lynn Canal gillnetters with state fish managers.
And I think that's really what our fishermen are saying. You can't manage our fish if you look at it just in isolation of Lynn Canal and treat Icy Straits as if our fish weren't in Icy Straits. It's all integrated. And so hopefully we could impact the way that the management decisions are made.
The report is still in draft form, and Schnabel said the borough will continue talking with local biologists, fishermen, and Golder associates before accepting a final report. Legislation to reestablish a coastal management program in Alaska may soon be introduced, according to Skagway and Juneau Representative Beth Kurtula. She says the proposed system will focus on coordinated permitting for development projects in coastal areas.
You know, if we're talking about the economy, which we will be a lot this session, you know, you do not want to have builders stymied by the bureaucracy of having to run around to every individual agency to get their permits.
The Democrat says it's a bipartisan issue, and she expects the legislation will be introduced by a Republican. Kurtula, who ran unopposed for re-election, spent much of the time between sessions working on a statewide initiative for a coastal management system. It failed to pass in the August primary. She says the legislation will take into account lessons learned in that campaign. Alaska had a coastal management program for decades, but it ended last year when the legislature and governor failed to agree on reauthorization. After that happened, Skagway officials said they would pursue creating their own local coastal management program. Assemblyman Mike Korsmo said recently the municipality is moving ahead with that idea. An attorney and former city clerk are working on the project. Alaska is the only coastal state without a federally approved coastal management program. The 1972 Coastal Zone Management Act allows states that opt for a program to get some federal funding. Skagway is still working toward hiring a new manager after the hiring committee's first choice for the job turned it down. The committee narrowed down a pool of 30 applicants to three finalists who visited Skagway last week for interviews and a public reception. Mayor Stan Selmer said the committee at Thursday's assembly meeting authorized him and the vice mayor to negotiate a contract with Robin Bennett of Trenton, Maine. But Mayor Selmer said Bennett declined the job offer on Monday. Bennett told Selmer the remoteness of Skagway played into her decision.
She had some things that she volunteered, like, you know, how remote it is here, and the commercial and medical resources are very limited, and she just didn't see this being something that she could do.
The mayor said he's awaiting direction from the search committee about whether to go ahead with a job offer to the candidate that scored second highest after last week's interviews. It wasn't disclosed at the assembly meeting how the other two candidates, Rich Honbaum and David Richards, ranked among the search committee's preferences. Rick Honbaum is a native of Cordova and former city manager of Cordova, Whittier, and Kotzebue. He currently lives in Oregon. David Richards currently serves as manager of Fort Yukon and is a former manager of Hoonah. Former Skagway manager Tom Healy is serving as interim manager until February 15th. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Visit our news section online at khns.org or our KHNS News Facebook page. We're always open to your comments and story ideas and appreciate hearing from you. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.